CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Here we are. Friday has come. Do, 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 do. Weekend beckons. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for the month of love? Next week is Valentine's Day. Who's excited about Valentine's Day, huh?
Yeah, why not?
The one with the fiancé.
No, guys, think about it. Why would you not be excited about Valentine's Day? It's a day trying to be positive.
Yes, I agree.
And make money out of you.
So, you don't have to partake in a commercial expert.
No one's ever rocked up to my house like the Spanish Inquisition and said, "You will buy roses." No one's ever done
Do
that.
Do you, though?
Sometimes.
At five times the price?
No, but no one's ever done that to me. So you always go, but it's such a commercial thing. Well, then don't do it.
Yeah, you don't have to. You can
have
do it.
To.
You can do it your way.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But what a nice idea. Try and make a day positive.
I know. Isn't that great?
Or very, just very nice. Remind you that your exes have left you.
All right, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with our microphones this morning.
It's this one's a bit hot.
It's like microphone roulette, this place.
Let me just try this again. Okay. There we go. Okay, Leanne, testing, testing.
Am I still hot?
You're still you're a bit hot on the microphone. Do your sex voice from late night commercials about porn.
Join me in.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, that's perfect. All right, Sia, talk to me.
I can't do a sexy voice, so this is all you get.
Speak in Zulu.
Don't be so hot.
Or is that a touchy subject? I don't know. I wasn't here.
Yo, I'm going to fold my arms at this point.
Mobile was calling Sia out yesterday for his Joburg Zulu and how much English he put in. And you called it what's English?
Zinglish. Zulu and English put together. There are certain things like, Hambi yotata ikap.
Yeah.
Go and get me my cup.
Yes. Yeah. Whereas in proper isiZulu, you would say, Hambi yotata inkomishi.
Yeah, so I just say Mkomboti instead of Mkomishi.
Oh, look at you.
She goes straight to the beer. All right.
Oh, look at you. Okay.
How's everybody feeling about the weekend? Good?
Yeah.
Very good.
Excellent. Do you know what I realized? Like, I love music. I mean, I've known this all my life, but music can put me in such a good mood, and it can conversely ruin a very good mood.
Oh, no.
No, if you hear a shit song, it can really put you in a bad place.
I mean, the system here does that on a daily basis with us.
Oh, my God. I just want to find this song. There's a song that comes up here all the time, and it's so crap. We've taken one off because it used to come up all the time, and we've actually removed it from the system, even though we tried that before, and then it mysteriously came back again.
Comes back, yeah.
Right? This one, I just want to find it because it is so cuck.
Blackbird.
Yes.
Something
yes,
resent or.
Yeah, I'm going to find it now because it's here. I'm telling you, and it's waiting for us. Blackbird, something. Yeah, it's. Oh, God, it's horrible. And anyway, what happens is that we'll be sitting here and we'll be letting the system play while we're getting ready for the show.
Found it. Blackbird's Delight.
Now, there we
Night
go.
Natives.
Ooh, like a Shepherd's Delight.
Gosh, now, I don't know. I don't want to knock this band. I don't know if they're local or whatever. But
music's their first choice.
Maybe they actually wanted to be engineers.
Maybe they're a bunch of accountants who just have a bit of spare time on a Tuesday.
Right.
And this is what they came up with.
Night Natives. Here it is. Got it. Okay, listen to this. This is a song that comes up all the time. Puts me in such a funk.
Oh, no. It's a trigger song.
It is. Right?
I hear this and I want to...
You want to kill yourself.
Essentially, yeah.
Anyways, I'm not even going to play the rest of it. But that thing comes up all the time, and it just puts me in a foul mood. And then there are songs that I can hear any time, and it just puts me in the best mood. The best.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody's got their own, so I'm not going to give you mine because it's boring to listen to someone else's playlist. It's like someone who comes up to you and goes, do you want to hear my poem I wrote? And you're going... No, please, not your poem.
It also depends on how much you've had to drink, how much you like a song, or it affects you. Like, you might end up crying if it's something from the past. Or like me, I find if I've had a few glasses of wine, note that I spell glasses B-O-T-T-L-E-S, I make a list. I'm like, this song's amazing. And then I make lists. And then I listen to them the next day. I'm like, what?
And you're like, what? Blackbird's Delight?
What was I going through?
Unbelievable. But yeah, there are there's some hilarious things that can happen too with music. Like I often find it can make me extremely nostalgic and thoughtful, and then it can just be like unbounded joy. It can be just you're bouncing around in the car listening to something.
Mm.
It's the best thing ever. So cool. And sometimes it's a song that you haven't heard in years, and you hear it and you go, oh my God, I haven't heard this song in years. And you're so excited to hear it. Mm. All right, so today we got lots to get to. We're not going to sit and be nostalgic about songs.
Aww.
First of all, Lauren sent us an email.
Hi, Lauren.
Lauren says, I'm emailing you from minus 42 degrees in Canada.
Oh, that sounds sexy.
What the actual fuck? She says, anyway, I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for your show. It reminds me of everything I miss about South Africa, the candid opinions, the zest for life, and all the ups, downs, and the beauty that comes with being part of such an incredible country. You guys make me laugh out loud like no Canadian can, and echo my opinions that are seen as far too controversial here. Anyway, big thanks to all of you. Gareth, I've listened to you forever, and you always remind me of home. Leanne, I totally love those late night ads. Isn't that ironic? We were just talking about that. Ben, your bluntness is amazing. Sport by you is the right way to go. Sia, my brother from Derbs, you are the epitome of my friends back home. Pumi's trials and tribulations are the shit, and Gord, holy, you have me in stitches every time, she says. P.S. Yeah. CrossFitters are the same here. And I cannot wait to hear stories of your adventures with Hi Rob. You need to make that trip happen for all of our sakes. Cheers, guys. Have an awesome weekend. Lauren, isn't that nice?
Very nice. I follow a YouTuber in Canada. She started off as like a nail artist. Her channel's called Simply Nail Logical.
Yes.
But she now hardly ever does nail art. She's one of the funniest people I've ever known. She's just dry as anything. And she swears and does all the things that really piss Canadians off. Like she has a lot of children watching her channel because they like the pretty glittery, naily stuff.
Yeah.
And parents email her all the time and say, please stop swearing. My child likes to watch you. She's like, well, stop your child from watching me.
Not my problem, bitch.
Yeah.
How like badass.
That. That's very good. All right. We'll get to some news later on. I got to read this quickly while we're doing emails. You know, we launched this new series, The Naked Economy, and it's getting some really interesting feedback. I just thought I'd read this to you because this is an example of the kind of thing that we sometimes get that makes it so worthwhile to put something together with a client. In this case, it's Naked Insurance. And Ernest from Naked Insurance, who we had on this week, doesn't want to talk too much about the business of insurance. He wants to make this series about entrepreneurship and about businesses and about people who are breaking through the noise and creating little industries. And really, the two episodes that I've listened to and the third one that's available now are all fascinating because they follow the journey of these people. There's this kind of spaza shop idea in the second one. In the first one, there's a coffee shop here in Linden. And this is the email I got from Nicolette yesterday. Just to give you an idea, so you know I'm not making this up, that when I always say, oh, it's such a great series. So Nicolette said, hey, Gareth, just thought I'd let you know. I was listening to Tuesday's show and your interview with Ernest from Naked Insurance. I Googled it while listening and it took me 2 minutes to get a quote. I'm saving 800 rand a month. Now they need to get going on their home content so that I can get rid of my current insurer altogether. Wow. So this comes out of nowhere. I mean, yeah, I don't have to read this either, but I think it's just such a beautiful from the heart endorsement, and you don't hear this often. People complain. They like to moan.
Yep.
Here's Nicolette giving kudos. So she says, I emailed them a question and got a personal response back in a minute.
Wow.
I'm super chuffed. I've already told a number of people about Naked Insurance and the podcasts. I hope they grow from strength to strength in years to come. Kind regards, Nicolette Conradi. Isn't that nice?
Jeez. Yeah. I've just changed insurers and halved my premium.
Yeah.
Maybe I should go again.
But you see, if you
can halve it again.
But this is what you see. The point is, Ernest was talking about exactly this. Is if you stay with someone, you just eventually get used to it, and they incrementally, it's like a creep.
Mm.
Over a long period of time, they're just up and up and up. And eventually you're like, good Lord, I'm paying a fortune.
Mm.
And you don't need to. And then they still tell you on top of that, there's an excess.
And this is someone who's been in the industry for years,
mm-hmm.
who saw this happen firsthand.
Right. Exactly. He's seen it all through the establishment of the big insurers like Hollard and those guys. And really, he knows the inside track. So it's worth listening to. And by the way, if you're in the personal finance business or the insurance business, it would be worth listening to episode 3. He had to run it through the lawyers 2 or 3 times to make sure that he wasn't going to get into trouble for making these revelations. So that should give you a bit of a clue as to the fact that this is a no-bullshit kind of podcast. Okay, so the president gave his State of the Nation address last night. Did anyone watch?
I watched a bit of it, but it went on for a bit.
It went on.
I was just amazed. I haven't seen one of these in a while because they've always been disrupted by the EFF.
Exactly. This one went on without any disruptions. There was, and I only watched maybe the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And really, I watched it with half an eye. But the interesting thing about it was that it did go into uninterrupted, except there was a point where the president was talking about corruption and he's going to set up this special investigating unit inside of the NPA, which will investigate corrupt politicians. It's specifically designed to get them, and that there will be prison sentences. He's promulgating legislation. I mean, there are a lot of promises here that seem on paper very good, like he's got a definite plan. And I think it's also, having talked to Canthan and Pumi yesterday about the president's very precarious position, he has to do this. This is almost like his political survival. If he doesn't expunge the Zuma coterie from his immediate, you know, orbit, they will take him down. So he realizes now he's got to show his teeth. He's got to go after these guys. So I think partly it's not that he's just doing what you'd expect a good, responsible leader to do and get the criminals in jail, but he's also doing it for his political survival. If he doesn't put these bad politicians, the bad members of the ANC who are really threatening him in jail, they could replace him with Nkosazana or God knows what else, David Mabuza. I mean, it really could happen. It's a very distinct possibility.
I almost feel if he does do that, he'll be replaced by Nkosazana or...
No, I think if
because, you've got to think that the ANC is more rotten than it is good, right? Fighting against the majority.
Perhaps, but if you control the machinery, as Jacob Zuma showed us, if you're the president and you control the machinery of state and you control the prosecuting authority, and he keeps saying not with fear or favor or any of that stuff, but we know all of the rotten Zuma people are the ones that he has to go for, right? So it's convenient for him that the law, if he implements it and he's an enforcer of the law, is on his side. It's a convenient weapon. And trust me, the first 2 or 3 that go to jail, the rest will back the hell down and get out of the way. I mean, these are not courageous people.
Yeah, it's like you're going to fight a cowardly mob. You knock the first guy out.
And the rest move away.
Scatter.
Yeah. A mob is usually dispersed fairly quickly with that kind of thing. Or a water cannon, depending on what you got. He was busy talking about corruption, and then, you know, the EFF started baying, and they were pointing at various members of the ANC who they thought should go to jail, which was hilarious. And then as he was talking about, yes, corruption, and Julius stood up and went, point of order. And here we go again. So the National Council of Provinces chair said, yes, is this a point of order? And he went, chair, Thabang Makwetla is clapping. He must remember that he's going to jail. He should not be clapping for this. And then the NCOP head said, look, please sit down.
That's calling him out.
That's not a point of order. But Julius called out Thabang Makwetla by name. And then there were a bunch of others.
What's his claim
to
crime?
I can't remember, but he's been implicated in all of this Basasa stuff. And then right at the end, when everybody filed out of Parliament, because it was quite orderly besides that one interruption, which I thought was very funny, they were all filing out, you know, the president and the speaker, and those people go out first. And while they were going out, there was a woman singing. And there was a song going, and everybody was singing along with the song. And then the EFF kept dropping in, Bosasa!
Oh,
and Agrizi! It was very, very funny. So that was an interesting new development in Parliament. Something that was humorous and at the same time not particularly disruptive.
Mm.
So who knows? It's being very favorably received. A lot of people are talking about his focus on the economy.
Mm.
He's not really focused on all those bullshit promises that... I mean, really... Someone tweeted afterwards, and I had a fleeting glance at Twitter as well just to see what everybody else's opinion was. One guy said, because Cyril's promises are, first of all, practical and quite big, it makes Jacob Zuma's promises look so small and paltry by comparison. All Zuma really promised is what he was. I'll be back. There'll be more of me. We're just going to keep the ship going so we can loot it. That kind of thing. And Cyril's talking about big things. He's going to reestablish Technicons, which is a very good move, I think. There was a lot of potentially good stuff. I think we'll be able to judge when the markets open this morning what the financial markets think of what he said, because obviously they are more important than some street person's opinion, or sure, even my opinion.
Maybe I'm just a bit more disillusioned than the rest, but it's so easy to promise things. I can start the show by basically telling all of you how I'm going to buy you amazing Christmas presents. And
thank you, Ben.
I'm going to wash Sia's car today. And Gareth, I'm going to mow your lawn next Sunday.
Thanks.
All because I'm just a nice guy.
Yeah.
And you'll all go, sounds very good. You know, Ben's not talking about himself here. He's literally thinking about our needs.
Yeah.
But then it's like, you guys, like, I'm busy. And then I've got to do something else. And then actually, I don't want to do it.
Because of something else, I'm delayed.
Yeah. So,
No, I know. I'm not getting my hopes up.
I mean, he's promising tablets when schools don't have toilets.
Sure. Ben, that's a bit of a wrap.
Yeah. He was talking about that as well. So that did come up.
I mean, I know what a tablet does. It does not help me with number one or number two.
Mm-mm. Unless it's Rate My Poo.
I mean, maybe use a tablet while...
Yeah. RateMyPoo.com?
Yes.
What is that?
Suddenly
go and have a look. It's self-explanatory.
And now we go from the most important things in politics, the State of the Nation address, to RateMyPoo.com.
I just think that it's so nice to feel positive. And like, obviously, we all know Brent Lindekue. I love how positive he is, and he gets excited about this kind of stuff. But I think we should be more critical and positive. The incentive has always got to be to prove the public wrong, rather than like, okay, well, they're buying this shit, so I don't have to do too much.
Absolutely. I couldn't say better, Ben. Very good point. Don't get excited about bullshit like that. All right.
If it's come from the arse before, it'll come from the arse again.
One more time?
Sorry. We should put in your tombstone. What an amazing... That's terrific. All right. Coming next week, Tuesday, we're launching a new podcast series. I'm very excited about this. It's called Blind History. It's a crash course in getting to know history's greatest men and women.
Oh, yeah, this is right up your alley.
Uh-huh. And by great, I don't always mean good. In the series, which is hosted by me and Anthony Medera from Taylor Blinds, we will, because he's a massive history fan too, so we just sit there like geeks and we geek out completely about history.
Is this what you were about to record when you had all those books the other day?
Yeah, I brought in a pile of my books from home. Yeah, it's so much fun. So we're doing this special series called Blind History, and Anthony and I will talk about the stuff that the history books leave out, the sordid stories, the less well-known details, some of the stuff that they didn't teach you at school. And each person we talk about will help you to put a piece of the puzzle in place and bring history to life in 15 controversial and conversational minutes. You can keep an eye out for cliffcentral.com and Blind History, which is brought to you by Taylor Blinds. Do you like that?
Yes.
Sounds great, yeah.
All right, take a listen when it comes on. Hey, Mobile, you caused some trouble for Sia yesterday.
Oh, sorry. I kind of logged out a bit. Hectic day. What problems did I cause?
Well, there were people questioning just how authentically Zulu he is after yesterday.
But I did say I don't know him like that, so I can't judge. I don't know why people then question. Come on now. Yeah, you need to show your Zuluness, please.
Exactly. I don't understand who these people are jumping on this train, actually.
But right. Just to say on what you just mentioned about your new program, Gareth, you know what? I'm a big history buff also. I can't wait. I hope you guys will touch into World War One and especially also the Boer War, because I'm actually currently going over the details. So much is left out in the history books, but anyway, that's not why I called in.
Yeah, more than events, yeah. We're talking about people. So I think the first four episodes are about Alexander the Great, King Shaka.
Ooh, the history of King Shaka, that's a bit of a mixed bag one.
Yeah, it's very controversial.
But of course I know about this.
Yes. Well, you feature intimately. You do.
Yes, King Shaka's my great-great-grand-sixth-grandfather.
Because if you ask the history of Shaka, you get a totally different version, eh?
Well, also
there's
it depends.
A lot of animosity between Xhosas and Zulus.
Listen, if you speak to anyone except Zulus about King Shaka, you get a very different opinion. But then the same is true for the French about Napoleon or anything like that. And the third episode, I think, is John F. Kennedy. And then we did one on King Edward III of England. And there's a bunch, so don't worry. We're going to cover a lot of people.
Oh. Anyway. Are you going to cover Cecil Rhodes?
He wasn't on the list.
I know he's boring. He's not a prominent historical figure, but he is still a historic figure nonetheless.
Okay, all right. I'll see if we can fit him in somewhere. I mean, look, we're going to start with, you know, start with the first season, and we'll see how it goes, because we're doing 13 episodes in the first season, and then we'll do maybe a second one, depending on how well it gets received.
Oh, and I'll definitely be all listening. Right. So the reason I'm calling you guys, I just need your help, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've just recently joined Twitter. I don't know. Well, I actually know why I joined it. There's a reason why, but I now regret it, but I still have to push through.
All right.
I just need to understand. Are people this thirsty on Twitter? Are people this desperate for either sex or attention? Because I'm seeing one of two.
What kind of tweets are you seeing that make you think people are thirsty?
Okay. So, for example, I just randomly joined, right?
Uh-huh.
And then it just popped up a lot of black faces. I didn't know Twitter can recognize my blackness just uh-huh. by my Twitter handle. I don't know.
Yeah, it's an algorithm.
So, but I didn't put anything that suggests, even my email address is not black. Anyways, so the I'm following a couple of, you know, people who have a lot of followers because, hey, I want a lot of followers too.
Sure.
I'm also there for attention. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I'm seeing a lot of guys who post a picture says, "Ooh, what would you do if your crush did this?" And then because that guy has a lot of followers, a girl will say, "Ooh, I'll do you."
Oh.
And then you get in getting pictures and the guy says, "Ha ha ha ha, DM me."
Oh,
I have screenshots. I have so many screenshots. It's unbelievable because I'm laughing at this. And then you'd see a girl who says, "Ooh, I love myself today. I look so cute on campus." And then I responded and I just, her eyebrows look like a seagull, like gliding.
Like the McDonald's M.
No, even better. It looked like Michael Phelps doing the butterfly. I even did a Photoshop of it. And I replied to her and I'm like, "Sister, Michael Phelps is right there on your forehead." So jeez. I'm just wondering, is this really a thing on Twitter? Or maybe I'm on the wrong side of Twitter.
Well, you joined very late, so all of this is going to be very surprising to you, but most of us will be bored by it by now. I think Twitter is like anywhere else. I mean, if you walked into a busy bar, you're going to find exactly the same kind of thing that you find on Twitter, except people are a whole lot more brave on Twitter than they are in the bar. Because people are genuinely, unless they are high or extremely confident, they're quite shy and retiring. On Twitter, it's the opposite. They're all behaving like they're high or confident, even though they're not.
Yeah, but also, like, if you walk in, to use the bar analogy, you can walk into a really big bar and you can gravitate towards certain people. You can go talk to, like, some banker wankers having a beer. You can talk to some underage girls. You can talk to some old creepy men. It's all about where you want to go. You know, you can also mute certain words. So, like, I use Twitter just for sport. So I've muted the words EFF, BLF, DA, ANC.
That's clever.
I just put Basasa on the list as well.
Mm.
So no matter what, I'm going to get what I want out of Twitter.
Right.
Like I'm worldly enough. I don't need to have people ramming all the other crap down my throat. So
you can mute people too, which is helpful.
I mean, you can mute the word like bae and side chick and Kardashian.
Oh no, actually that is my target market. So unfortunately, I have to go for the bae. Yes.
Well then it sounds like you've already hit gold straight away right off the bat.
Yeah,
but the thing is, like I said, like you said, I'm late. I know I'm late, and I'm a late bloomer by nature anyway. But I'm very surprised with how Twitter, how people are so brazen with their thirstiness. And for me, it's the thirst for attention. Like, how desperate must you be? Because I saw another hashtag says thick girls versus slender girls. And I was like, oh boy, this is going to be fun. And I saw, a lot of guys never said anything negative, funny enough.
Yeah.
A lot of guys, even if a girl basically looked like a blob, they're just like, "Ooh, you're so beautiful." And I'm like, I feel that desperate. And then I look at a girl's picture who's like, mm-mm. Yeah, what's that former minister who has a puza lips?
Batabile.
There's so many. Is it Batabile?
I think it's Batabile, yeah, the one who has a proper...
It's a whole puza face. It's not just...
Yeah, it's a whole face. It's not just puza lips. It's the whole face.
Yeah, her lips are like especially red, like very dangerously. I drink vodka.
She's
straight
been
up
battling a court since breakfast.
And she does that thing when you see her on TV, she does that thing where she goes...
Oh.
She, you know how like old gogos in Shabins do that? just before they get the money out of their bra. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean. So, for example, I saw a lady who has, let's say, she has a Michelin kind of rolls on abdomen part, and the face looks like that, Batabile, and then boom, guys be like, "Ooh, girl, you are beautiful. Hashtag, you are thick."
Yeah, well, you know, it takes all kinds, Ngobile. It's not just you who knows what beautiful is. So good. And remember, every pot has a lid.
Okay.
That's what they say.
Elke pot het 'n daksel.
There we go.
Sonke ipoto e sinesivalo.
Listen to Sia trying to be all Zulu. Go on, do that again.
Sonke is ipoto e sinesivalo.
Nice, yeah. You read that so well.
Yeah, okay. You know what, Sia? Okay.
He's hiding behind his book, because if you can see him.
No, the way you said it, though, it's like a white man speaking Zulu, you know? No, you said it like this. It's like, Sonke isivalo sinepotwe. That's twanging, bruh. It's Sonke isivalo sinepotwe.
I'll be in the corner, you know, if anyone is looking for me. Bye.
All right, listen, we're going to go.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, dude. Nice to talk to you. There we go. Mm-hmm. All right. I love it. If you need some body and mind rejuvenation.
Mm.
Yes, I knew you'd like that, Leanne.
Rejuvenation.
Yes, which means?
Regeneration?
Regaining your youth.
Oh, your youth.
Rejuvenation. A juvenile. You know what a juvenile is?
Yes.
Yeah, right. So if you want some rejuvenation, you want to feel young again, you can escape to an award-winning day spa in the heart of Rivonia, Johannesburg. Skin Sense Day Spa hosts a comprehensive range of expert beauty treatments for men and women. Whatever you're looking for, and however much or little precious me time you have, you'll find your perfect solution at Skin Sense Day Spa. Can you hear the tranquility in my voice? So listen, it's Valentine's Day. There we go. Birds chirping. If you have any ideas for Valentine's Day, and there are a bunch of Valentine's specials at SkinSense, you can go along to cliffcentral.com, follow the links, and you will find everything to your heart's desire. Doesn't that sound like a good way to spend Valentine's Day? Hmm? Wouldn't you like that?
It's thoughtful and it's practical.
Right. SkinSense Day Spa.
I was hoping for panpipes.
I knew you'd get. You always get what you want here. All right, it's time for us to check in on the news. You might not want all of this. Remember, it's No Politics Friday, but we had to refer to the State of the Nation address. That's about all we're going to do, though. They've opened a new highway. Dumisane Makaya Drive, which links six communities, is now complete. On Wednesday, the KZN Department of Transport announced the infrastructure of the drive had been completed. The road is also known as P577. Of course, you knew that. Was always in your GPS, whether you liked it or not. In a Facebook post, the department said that the road had one viaduct and three road bridges, serving as a connection between the Guamashu, Newlands, Inanda, Guadabega, Claremont, and Pinetown neighborhoods. So it's there in that area, if you know what I'm talking about. The road also links Guamashu and New Germany, crossing over to the Umgeni River near the Guadabega township. It has 9 pedestrian bridges, 1 viaduct, and 3 road bridges. So this is very good. The total cost of the completed road? Ka-ching, 1.3 billion rand.
Shucks.
That's what roads cost. It's 14.8 kilometers long, renamed under the Roads Naming and Renaming Legacy Project, following the call made by the province to honor the citizens of the province who've contributed immensely towards making the lives of communities better. The late Dumisane Makaya was one of those individuals, an ANC struggle hero, the post said. The drive is officially opened by former President Jacob Gedleleki Zuma in December 2017. All right.
So that's just like him.
Mm-hmm.
But you think about it, yesterday we were talking about developments and how really we sometimes don't really think about how much they change our lives for the better.
I was talking about this Rivonia Road exchange at the bottom of Rivonia and Sunning Hill, and I looked at the bridge the other day and saw that was put up in 2010, and I'd completely forgotten.
Mm.
And you know, if these things don't happen, what happens is we go backwards. Speaking of going backwards, the Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Sussex, otherwise known as Meghan Markle from Suits, wrote an impassioned plea to her estranged father to stop victimizing her in the media shortly after her wedding. It emerged on Wednesday. Meghan was said by friends to be so upset by his repeated public attacks on her and Prince Harry that she sent a letter begging him to sort out their differences privately. It read, and I wonder who it is, who is the douchebag who leaked this? Between a daughter and father, or a father and his daughter.
And they're doing it for money, obviously.
Yeah. You know, what kind of slimy...
But these tabloids, I think, are very good at penetrating inner circles.
Because they're always talking inner...
Like, you'd always hear about Jennifer Aniston being, like, you know, really sexually hard up and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Who knows that?
A close confidant.
Yeah. Someone she was spotted having a cappuccino with once. So, like, look, give me 10 grand and give me some dirt. Well, you'd never believe what she told me today.
About her titties. It's just unbelievable. All right, so Meghan said the following, according to this report anyway. Dad, I'm so heartbroken. I love you. I have one father. Please stop victimizing me through the media so we can repair our relationship. I mean, if that's true, you got to feel sorry for the girl.
He's on another level, though. I would have given up on him ages ago.
He's such a horrible person.
Yeah.
Thomas Markle, who's never met his son-in-law and now lives a reclusive life in Mexico, did respond, but his long letter ended with a request that she pose for a photo opportunity with him.
Mm-mm.
So he's just just dreadful.
No, thank you.
Yesterday, a source said she feels like that's the opposite of what she's asking for. I'm telling you, I don't want to communicate through the media. And you're asking me to communicate through the media. Do you hear anything I said? It's almost like their ship's passing. Every time her team has to come to her and fact check something, it's like an arrow to her heart. Sure.
Drama.
Yeah, this is not good.
This is a great example of how families and family obligations are just things you don't have to have in this life. We really don't. If you look at the wild, right? Apart from lions and a pride. People, like, you get bored and it's like, well, it's up to you now. It's like, cool. See you if I see you.
Mm-hmm.
Meghan still has enough heart to say, I only have one dad. At this point,
connection.
This is a horrible family. Meghan could not do better than to just leave them in the past.
Yeah.
And as for that Samantha who wheels up in a wheelchair to Buckingham Palace.
The most brazen of all, the one in the wheels.
Demands to get let in to see her sister. I mean, it's just outrageous. Oh, Pitch Black Afro, speaking of outrageous. He's got a bail bid, which has been postponed to secure a pathology report. The murder case against musician Thulani Ngcobo, who's also known as Pitch Black Afro, has been postponed once again, this time to secure a report from a pathologist. He made a brief appearance at the magistrate's court on Thursday afternoon, applying for bail. He's accused of the premeditated murder of his wife, Trisha Mudisane, whose body was found in a B&B in the Joburg CBD on New Year's Eve. Dressed in jeans and a black jacket, Ngcobo appeared exhausted by his bail hearing. His lawyer, Meshack Maluleke, said that the court had asked for time to secure the services of a pathologist. It claims while the musician's wife sustained bruises, they were not inflicted by the accused, adding that she may have sustained them earlier when she left their room following an argument. The case has been postponed to 21 Feb. But it's not looking good, is it?
No.
No. Dwayne The Rock Johnson has also rejected the job of hosting the Oscars. Smart move. Not even Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who first of all is not funny, and second of all is not political. Even he knows to sidestep this thing like the hot potato it's become.
But, I mean, it's pretty obvious what the Oscars should be doing. Get a superhero to host it.
Like, I mean, in character?
There's like superhero rugby. Superhero movies are everywhere. Why not get like the Green Lantern or like a really shitty superhero wants to like make it like a stand?
How about Deadpool? Oh no, that would be much too controversial.
Way too funny, way too good.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson claims he was the first choice to host the Academy Awards but was too busy to take the job. The 46-year-old actor hoped to make the 2019 Oscars fun and entertaining, but his commitments to Jumanji 2 ruled him out of the job, which was eventually accepted by Kevin Hart. The Rock tweeted, I was their first choice to host this year, and my goal was to make it the most fun and entertaining Oscars ever, but we all tried hard, and I couldn't make it since I'm shooting Jumanji. He added, Academy and I were super bummed, but maybe one day down the road. Well, we'll never know about the comic skills of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. all because of Jumanji 2, which I don't think I'll see either.
No.
And then, shame, you know, this Hoërskool Driehoek, we didn't really talk much about this, but there was a bridge that collapsed. I think we spoke about it in the news on Monday. So the father of one of the pupils who died in the Hoërskool Driehoek tragedy has thanked the community for the support his family's received during the time of their grief. Jan Steyn addressed mourners at the River of Life Family Church in Vanderbijl Park during the funeral of his 14-year-old son, Yandre. I feel the pain inside me. Let us pray for our children who are no longer with us. It is time to pray for our children. God's son is with us as parents too. You understand our pain and we understand your pain, he said. I mean, it's just very, very sad. And the learners were all lined up there inside the church. And it's a horrible, horrible scenario. I mean, this is not the kind of thing that you'd expect to happen. You know, you send your kid to school, you think they're going to be safe, and then this happens. So I don't really know what else to say, but they watched a slideshow of this little guy as a baby and through his childhood. And February the 1st was his last day on earth. He lost his life at school. We should not be angry with each other or the Lord. This is what his father said. We must look at this tragedy with a different eye. Oh, we got a phone call. Do you want to go to phone calls? Since we finished the five things we need to know this morning, let's go to the line, see what's happening. Hey, good morning. What's, hang on. I pressed the wrong button.
Oh, yeah. All
right, sorry.
Happens, you know.
Okay, well, you know what to do. 0861-555-189 if you want to call us, and I will put you on. This time I will press the right button.
The right button.
There are four of them. There's one that says answer, which is not the one you're meant to press before you give me shit about that.
Yeah.
Another one's hold, then there's air, and then there's drop.
So you want either answer or air, but I suppose it's air.
Air, right.
Okay.
See? Not so straightforward. It's not like your phone that you just pick up because it's a green button with a little phone.
And even I get that wrong sometimes.
Do you ever struggle because sometimes you have to slide the thing to the right to answer?
Yeah. Or just the one button you push.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, it just wouldn't slide.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hello. Hello. I feel like an idiot. All right, let's try this again.
Okay.
All right. And hello. Hello.
Hi, Gareth.
Oh,
yay.
Worked. All right, what's up? Who is this?
Hey, Ben. Thea, Leanne. How's it going?
What's your name?
I just wanted to know quickly what happened to all the podcasts on the website. I mean, on the app, sorry, like Jonty and Casper.
Hold on. Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, hold on. Hello? Oh, we got two people on the line.
Oh, goodness.
Very exciting. All right, I'll tell you what. You just hold on a second. We can come to you next, all right? I'm going to, meanwhile, yes, all the podcasts. So what we've done is we've just cleaned up the website a little bit because there was so much stuff on there that it became impossible to navigate. You know, have you ever been on one of those sites where they've just got page after page after page after page and they eventually have an index and it just gets ridiculous? We decided to clean it up. But if there's something you really want, just email us and we'll find it for you. We'll dig it out.
Okay, cool. 100%.
All right. It's too much, dude. It's overwhelming, you know?
Yeah, I know, but you get your favorites and you get used to them and then, yeah.
No, I can tell you like listening to...
Are they coming back, though?
You like listening to Jonty, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jonty's cool.
All right, well, we'll get him on again. Look, he's around. And what we've done with a lot of the shows is we've just we've cleaned up because I'd rather put out good stuff rather than more stuff. And
no, 100%, I agree with you.
You know, I don't want to waste your time. You've got the basic idea.
All right, 100%.
All right, bro. Thanks
and
so much.
And you guys rock, man. Keep it up.
Thank you, bro.
You really, really are cool.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay. Let's try the other call. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Speaking to Greg, I just want to say I checked out a few of the pictures from Sona last night. I don't know why it's become such a fashion parade. But I've made a decision of who I'm voting for based on a picture I saw online.
Yes.
And that's going to be Banjo Lomisa because he's fucking driving an old Renault and I had to check it for bombs and stuff.
Really? Banjo Lomisa was driving an old Renault?
Yeah, he's driving a Renault and he was driving himself.
Hmm. Okay, I'm going to look for that.
I think it's one of those journalists, Maria Niafati or someone.
Yeah.
Someone tweeted the picture. But I mean, what I'm getting at is that the guy seems to be, his headspace is still in the right way, you know?
Wow,
he's
okay.
He's the best of all the shit that we have, and life is our boat for him.
Okay, so he arrived at the sauna in an old Renault.
Yeah, not an old Renault, but I mean it's a Renault nonetheless.
Okay, no, like that. All right, hello, yeah. That's very nice to hear.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I mean, and he drove himself, which is quite important.
All right, that's very cool. By the way, did you see that woman with the glasses?
I saw that.
There was a woman wearing the biggest pair of, like, bullshit glasses you've ever seen in your life. Just, if you search Sona on Twitter, it's way more important than anything the president said. There's a picture of a woman in a, she's wearing a Xhosa blanket, and she's got, like, a duku on, and she's got these huge, like, Elton John-style glasses.
Yep, I saw that.
Yeah,
that's
brilliant.
Clown day.
Yeah, well, like, this is Parliament.
Jesus.
All right.
thanks,
agreed, Greg.
Yeah, but I mean, cheers, mate.
Okay, bye. There was this Greg with some input on Sona. Did you see that woman?
Yes.
No, but I saw a woman with this ridiculous hat in black and yellow. It's like the Mad Hatter's hat.
Don't talk about Helen like that. Was she even there?
I didn't see her.
No. But then I didn't watch the whole Sona.
There was some old ducky in a blue dress with her pearls on.
I
but
saw
it wasn't her.
Gwen there, Trollope.
Gwen, yeah. She was wearing a dress her mum made for her. Isn't that sweet?
And Musi representing the deer.
Okay. So,
But didn't Gwen just retire or resign?
Mm.
Yeah, she did, but she still gets to go because it's the opening of the new session. All right. Carl says on email, "Hey, Gareth, did you see that Spa unashamedly stole your drinking game
again
for Sona? Really sad
again
that they have no imagination. You must go and get your monthly Please Call Me and sue them like that guy did at Vodacom and the baby product lady from Woolies." Yeah, I should actually.
Yeah.
You know, Spa, I don't think they've ever advertised with us. I don't think they've ever...
Well, more and more, Tops at Spa.
I don't think they've ever really been involved in anything I've done, and I'm kind of annoyed. Like, you take something, you just take it as an idea and you make it look like it's yours. I hope they got blowback for that, because it's unoriginal, it's uncreative, and it's fucking boring of them to steal an idea that's 6 years old, or whatever it is, 7, 8 years old. I mean, it's just sad. You see, this is the paltry level at which so many of these supposed creatives operate. All right, we've got very little time, so let's get to Ben, because I don't want to waste your morning. If you've come specially for sport, you're in like $3,382 a Bitcoin, $105 for Ethereum. Ben, what do you have?
All I'm going to say is strap yourself in. It's Friday. There's lots to talk about. Get ready.
All right. That sounds good. Let's take it to that place.
Well, oh, well. It's Friday, so there's obviously lots of live sport to watch. Let's kick it off with the Six Nations. We all know that Ireland lost to England last week, and that really has set the tone, because now it's... Where do those people come from? It really is England's to lose now, because you get that first win out of the blocks, it really is going to help you go all the way. So Scotland are playing Ireland. That's the big game on Saturday, 4:15 South African time. Then Italy are going to get hammered by Wales, albeit a weakened Wales as they look to try to play a few fringe players at a bit 6:45. And then Sunday, this is a good one, England versus France at 5:00 at Twickenham. There's no other real rugby to worry about, because only next weekend does Super Rugby start.
Oh.
So the Sharks are playing the Bulls in a warm-up match. The Stormers will be taking on Borland. And, well, we'll pick up rugby again next week. There's football, of course. Football, football, football. Mm-hmm. Man City have clawed their way back to tie up with Liverpool. So Liverpool, who have plateaued. I wouldn't say kick the bucket just yet. So many words to describe how Liverpool are just frustrating their fans right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll be taking on Bournemouth at home at Anfield at 5:00 on Saturday, so they should be able to regain some points there. Fulham in the first game will be hosting Man United at 2:30. And then Arsenal, they have been pretty, pretty average away from home, and they'll be taking on Huddersfield Town at 5:00. Now, Huddersfield Town at the John Smith Stadium. Now, Huddersfield are crap. They're right at the bottom of the table, and if you can't beat them away, then, well, Arsenal, with your French guy and your... where most of the guys come from after the finger left? It's all pretty French. Anyway, that's 5:00. If you are a big fan of a team called Spurs, they'll take on Leicester, and Man City will take on Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two sort of the bigger games over the weekend. So the Man City versus Chelsea game will be at 6:00. So essentially, Liverpool and Man City, they both have the exact same run-in, essentially, to Premier League glory. Their hardest games are going to be Man United, Spurs, and Chelsea. Otherwise, they're going to be playing pretty average teams. So it's all about the big games, and Man City gets that chance this weekend. So If Liverpool fail again to really do anything interesting and Man City get a big scalp, well, again, it's Advantage City. But I still believe it's Advantage City anyway. Cricket, nope, there's none of that this weekend. Obviously, Pakistan have now concluded their tour of South Africa. They will now go elsewhere and obviously tune up for the World Cup because that's all that really matters. SA now look at Test cricket again. Yep, they're playing Sri Lanka. So as early as next Wednesday, the 13th of Feb, SA versus Sri Lanka at Durban.
Right.
It's like they just do not want fans. Durban on a Wednesday. Are you shitting me? An ice cream salesman won't even go to that game. But still, it's what you got to do because these schedules are so jam-packed. Mm-hmm. So think about this, right? Australia have just taken an absolute... Sorry, Sri Lanka have just taken an absolute trousering down under to Aussies. They played two tests and it was horrible. It was one side that it was dreadful. And they're on the 4th of Feb, they last played a test match. Now, the 13th of Feb... They're travelling all the way to SA to play even tougher opponents in conditions that they really are generally quite shite in. I mean, this is the whole problem with Test cricket, is a scheduling thing. It's not because the game is bad or because people don't want to watch it. It's just that the scheduling is so tough. These guys don't even have a warm-up match. I don't even know if they're going to have a game of French cricket in the corridors of the hotel. There's just no time. They're going to literally have a net session. They're going to see who's keen to play. Chandamal's been dropped, who was their captain, who was their star player. The problem with Sri Lanka is if you're a really good batsman, you'll end up batting in the top three, whether you're a specialist number six or a specialist number five. And Chandamal hasn't made that sort of conversion to the new ball. Understandable, too. I mean, he's meant to be a wicketkeeper batsman. But they've got bugger all talent, so therefore he's thrust into all kinds of other roles. So don't expect much from Sri Lanka. Don't expect much from this first test, but it will be played, and it's really good for the players' averages for the Proteas, batting and bowling. Then on the 21st of Feb, which is a Thursday, they'll be playing in PE. So Sri Lanka really do get to see the sights, the high life of South Africa in their little tour. And then after that, they'll play a game against an invitational team. So there's going to be five ODIs, three T20s. I think with it being a World Cup year, yeah, sure, play a test match, why not? But maybe bump up the ODIs. And who cares about T20? It's World Cup year, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess the big question here is not if South Africa will win or lose. I think it's pretty obvious they're going to win. And that's not me just being a one-eyed supporter. It's just kind of going to happen. So what can Otis Gibson do with the team? Who's he going to tweak with? Who's he going to play with? Who's he going to say, sorry, but your time is up. Please bring your candle to the tribal council. I'm going to snuff it out with a ball box. Emiliano Sala, you remember him? Well, he's sadly the Argentinian guy who died in that plane crash.
Right.
Now, of course, the local authorities said, nope, we can't see anything. It's just off Guernsey. It's hella hard to try to find anything in the ocean. Then they went out and had a bit of a crowdfunding thing where they raised, I think it was like £300,000. The family raised £324,000, the agent and the family of the player raised, in order to get a guy called David Mearns and all his fancy ships to go down to the depths of the ocean. And they did. They found the plane. At a depth of 67 meters, they found the plane. There was a body on the plane in the wreckage, and it's been identified as the Argentinian footballer.
Wow.
Very, very sad. The pilot,
how long ago was that?
Just a couple of weeks ago now.
Sure.
21st January, it lost radar contact just off Guernsey, which is a sort of tax haven island, just off France. Very, very sad. The pilot has still not been found, but obviously presumed dead. So... Now, I know this is too soon, but this isn't me bringing it up, but who pays for the player? He was leaving Nantes in order to get to Cardiff City, okay? It was Cardiff City's biggest signing. It was their biggest cash splurge. Nantes have already invoiced Cardiff City. Like, they are still trying to literally find the guy's body.
Jesus.
And Nantes are saying, right,
that's a bit coarse.
Let's get that first payment in. So it was going to be paid, it was, I think, £15 million. It's going to be paid over three installments over 3 years. And Nantes have already got a hot invoice in there for £5.2 million. So I know this business, and I know there's that. I don't know. Like, I kind of said they probably will. They're going to agree to the full amount, but they need to know all the paperwork's in place. But then the big question is, do they have insurance against these kind of things? It's sad that it's got to become this, because we just lost a guy, a talented footballer, just looking to further his career, and he's gone. You know, he's no longer on this planet. But how about that? Is it too soon? Is it just business? Is there something to really worry about here?
Yeah.
Either way, I mean, the story is just hugely sad.
It's a bit crass, though, don't you think?
It is a bit. It is a bit, because then Cardiff
people
will be like,
invoicing
well...
invoicing each other, it's just, you know...
Because
kind of
we've spoken about this a lot. Like, players are basically slaves. It's like human trafficking. So at what stage did this player become a property of Cardiff? He hadn't even crossed the English Channel yet. I don't know where I'm going with that. Anyway, in golf, there's a really big weekend of golf. It is the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Now, this is played at Pebble Beach. Now, it's a really great tournament because you get celebrities like Bill Murray cracking terrible jokes, still thinking he's in Caddyshack. But then you also get really strong player fields. And a lot of the guys play with their dads because it's a whole Pro-Am thing. But now, there's added attention this year because it is the US Open year at Pebble Beach itself. So obviously you always want to be able to peek around the majors and you want to have know your games in the right sort of place. And to play at a course on that year in a competitive round is even better. So Brandon Grace, he's currently in good form. He finished second last week in the Waste Management Phoenix Open, a tournament very close to Leanne's heart. She always watches that one.
Yeah.
So he's two back from the lead, currently held by Brian Gay and Scott Langley. Now, Brian was not bullied at school at all.
No. Brian Gay.
Yeah, but I've totally drawn a blank on this guy's name now. This is why I've got to start writing notes in 2019. There's a South Korean guy. Ho Song Choi. So this dude.
I'm sorry, what did you say? I thought you were ordering something from the restaurant next door.
I feel like you could have totally made that up.
Okay, go on to Twitter.
Oh, he did.
Let's all do this together. Go on to Twitter. Go on. Ho Song.
H-O?
Choi. Ho Song Choi.
Ho Song Choi. Someone asked me that at Saigon Susie once about the karaoke. Ho Song Choi.
Now, if you watch Ho Song Choi swing a golf club, it is a beautiful thing. Firstly, he's 44. He's long in the tooth. But he hits it like he's like an Asian kind of Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
And he just has this really strange sort of way about his play. Like he throws a leg through and he looks drunk. For lack of a better phrase on a Friday, he swings like that. But this dude is just like, this is how I play golf. This is how I draw. Ho Song Choi, he's there. Hmm. Hopefully he'll... Okay, I think he's 8 back from the leader. But still, got to watch this guy. I think he's fascinating for golf. And he's qualified for the US Open. That is why he's playing this tournament this week. What an incredible attraction for the game. Golf is just so many things and so many people. And this guy, an absolute gem. There's also the Ram Cape Town Open. If you're in Cape Town, you can go to the Royal Cape Golf Club. Jean-Paul Stratum, 62, right out of the blocks at minus 10. And on the European Tour, the ISPS Handa Victoria Open is being played on 13th Beach Golf Club. You've got to love how unrelentingly middle class Australia's got to be. What do we call it? I don't know, call it 13th Beach. Like, these guys, it's just, they are just such, like, short-wearing, shoeless, just salt-of-the-earthers, huh? Interesting name, 13th Beach. Well, it's being played there. It's a beautiful course, right by the ocean. Wade Ormsby and Jason Scrivener, they are currently leading. After two, or obviously they're in the future, so I mean, round two is currently being played here on a Friday. Another golf, Brooks Koepka, who I think is just so great for the game too. I love this guy more and more. He basically is calling Sergio Garcia out to be the little bitch that he is and said that the guy's 40. He's got to start behaving better. He was, of course, the guy who was dragging his feet in the greens. He got disqualified and he was smashing the bunkers up. He says, like, everyone goes through shit in golf, but this guy has to act like a child. It's just not cool. So good on you, Brooks Koepka. He also said that golf doesn't have the balls to penalize slow play. This guy's saying how it is, but then again, he's like big, strong, he's good looking, he's like just got everything he needs. So throw out the words there. It's the thing, have no fear, no favor, and that's where you are in life. And finally, the porn site, Jackie and Michelle.
I've never heard of that one.
It's kind of like a French porn hub.
Oh.
So if you Google Jackie and Michelle.
Sounds classier.
Let me put this into my little Google search and I can tell you what's going on here.
All right.
I don't think we've got time. Can't cut and paste that. Oh, wait,
excuse
there we go.
Me, I need to go and make some time for Jackie and Michelle.
Okay, so Jackie and Michelle, from what I gather, it's a French porn hub. You can go and watch French people having sex and stuff. So they have now sponsored...
You just go to France to see that, really.
You can also see that, Gareth, yeah. You know, like porn hub's obviously American, it's all a certain kind, but Jackie and Michelle, they it's all like French stuff. It's kind of weird, but people are obviously like very conversive and they're drinking wine and then they're just banging. But they are sponsoring the game between U.S. Carcassonne and Biarritz next month. So this is quite an interesting thing because, as we all know, there's a big problem worldwide for live rugby. People aren't going to the stadiums like they used to. Well, the match on March the 1st has already seen an uptake in ticket sales with Jockey and Michelle sponsoring the game.
Wow.
They're just sponsoring the game. US Casasone still have their original sponsors on their shirts, but when they run out for a little bit of a warm-up, they're going to have Jackie and Michelle, I've mentioned four times now, this is so good, on their shirts. So people can be excited to go to watch a game sponsored by a porn site. And this is what we must never forget as humans. We are so basic. We really are. I mean, look at me with my reptilian brain. I even Googled the site. I'm on it right now. There's people banging on my website. Oh, gosh, that is a gigantic penis. Wow.
And they're doing what with a croissant?
Well, look at what the French did with a kiss. Imagine what they do with normal sex.
Oh, that's nice. They're washing that guy's car. Oh, no, wait. He's not there for a car wash. This is so funny because all in French, and it's like got some categories. Sodomie.
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 Sounds so romantic.
It sounds great. Don't you just want to do it?
Wish someone would, yeah.
This one's got,
that to me.
This one's got,
je voudrais un peu de sodomie.
Ooh, what is that?
So this one with Seth Gorka chez Jackie et Michelle, it's Defense Total, Mec Gangbangik, and Sodomie.
Something with a bit of a gangbang inside.
So basically, it's a massive orgy. There we go. He seems to be rapping at the start of this too.
And oh,
there's
this
a,
is
a
the sponsor.
Lot going on in this,
this
video.
Is very good.
It's already got 3.5 million views.
Yes.
Very good. Okay. Yeah. Sure. So there's one thing. And like I was saying, like we must never forget that basic things attract basic people, and we're all mostly basic people. So this porn site is getting a huge amount of press for this, and it's really good. On the other side of the coin, Western Province Rugby seems to be imploding once and for all. There's a really great article you must read on alloutrugby.com that Gavin Rich has written, basically saying this could be the best thing ever because Western Province Rugby is going back into the dark ages. All these amateur hacks are now basically calling the shots and trying to give each other more power. Ultimately, what's going to happen? A big sponsor like DHL are going to go, why must we be involved with these absolute cretins? They're going to pull the money out. Suddenly, there's no money. They're going to be forced to privatize. And then finally, in the age of 2019, finally we can have professional rugby in this country, Gareth. Where that these old fat messes who are only there for the finger buffet are out of our system and we get business for business because sport is business. Hmm. That would be a lovely thing. And then we could all just rejoice the fact that our Springboks won't always go play for French clubs advertised with porn.
Okay.
That's essentially what's happening.
All right.
Yeah. I was quite impressed with that finishing off, I've got to say.
I think so.
And I've used the word finishing off and there was porn very close to the previous sentence.
Very look nice, at you, Ben.
Yeah. All right. That's all we got time for today. Let's turn our attention to Said by Sia, shall we? Sia, what do you got for us?
There's always a reason to be happy and be inspired in some way. And this morning just shows that again. Folks, did anyone see the Time magazine cover yesterday?
No, who's on it?
Ooh. If you go onto Time magazine social media and if you look at the cover right now, you'll see this beautiful oil painting of a child and the child is wearing these red glasses and it's but done by none other than Nelson Makomo, who's a South African who's made it onto the cover of Time magazine. I think that's a moment.
Wow, very good.
This is actually a massive, massive moment.
So this is on the cover of Time magazine.
Time magazine this week. Okay. The issue is one of two covers done in a series called Visions of a Limitless Future, and the magazine is dubbing this edition the Optimist Issue. So they're highlighting 34 people who are changing how we see our world, and Nelson Makomo is one of that 34. I think this is extraordinary. So the guest editor of Time magazine this week is Hollywood producer Ava DuVernay. She's the producer and director of movies like Selma and the new Disney movie A Wrinkle in Time.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually here for Global Citizen last year. Mm-hmm. And she was walking around the city with her BFF, my mother Oprah. And they were discovering different art studios and they happened to walk into Nelson's studio.
Very
they
nice.
Saw all of Nelson's
imagine that pieces. Imagine his
how crazy
he's sitting there painting and suddenly this DuVernay woman and Oprah walk in.
Minding his own business.
Mm. Only thing is now everyone's from overseas is going to think that everyone in South Africa is named Nelson.
Oh, Nelson Mandela, Nelson Makomo. It's just part of our territory. So Ava and Oprah both buy some of his pieces. And when Ava was called to guest edit Time magazine and under this theme of 34 people changing how we see our world, he thought, you know what? Nelson is one of the people who I think is changing how we see our world. world. And that was it. Look at that. From just being the South African artist making amazing pieces as it is, to now in a matter of weeks being on a global platform. I think that is incredible. And to make the story even sweeter, Nelson actually finds inspiration from his 11-year-old relative who he actually raises. And that's the child who you see depicted on the cover of Time magazine this week. Oh, so incredible. I really, really think this is amazing. So that's your Sepaisia for this morning. Nelson Makomo on the cover of Time magazine this week.
Very nice, yeah.
Excellent stuff.
I gotta say, Diane 45 on Chucky and Michelle.
We're okay, back there, stop Ben.
Cougar Sodomy debutant Trio HHF.
No.
CliffCentral.com.